You're listening to SA Talk, your favorite local podcast for everything San Antonio. I'm your host and favorite financial professional, Zachary Espericueta. Today is Monday, August 22nd. I hope everyone had a great weekend. Please be careful if you're out on the roads this Monday morning. I know a lot more school districts are starting this week. Northside for sure is starting this week. Other school districts like SAISD, Edgewood, Northeast, I believe, Harlandale, they've got a couple of weeks in already, but Northside will be starting, so there's probably going to be more traffic on the highways for sure. If you haven't noticed, I've been doing my annual fall campus presentations. Last week was in Northside. The week before that was in Harlandale ISD over at Terrell Wells Middle School. Shout out to Miss Charles over at Terrell Wells. She's an awesome principal that I had the pleasure of meeting this year, as well as a couple other principals that I had the pleasure of meeting for the first time this year. I know Principal Lasso over at Anson Jones Middle School here in Northside. I was able to present there on Thursday. He's also a new principal. He took over for Miss Michelle Wheat, who was there for many, many years, did an awesome job. But I was really glad to get out there to Jones. If you didn't notice on social media, I was able to capture a few pictures with some individuals who recognized me from the podcast and or Twitter. A couple of clients of mine are also at Anson Jones Middle School. But really, shout out to all of the principals, not only at the schools that I present at, but all the schools across the city of San Antonio, getting school started after school ended in a very tragic way with the Uvalde, you know, massacre. Even though that happened, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours away from here, obviously it affected the whole country, really, but especially campuses and schools and school districts here in San Antonio. I'm sure they had to do a ton of training. There was many discussions about security, planning for certain things that, you know, you should never have to plan for. But these principals and their admins, their secretaries, the teachers, of course, have to take the time and really put the work in to get everyone prepped for this upcoming school year. So again, one more time, shout out to them. But on this week's episode, I do have Darnell Smith joining me on the podcast. He is the athletics director at Texas A&M University at San Antonio. My good friend, Jacob Cavazos, did an awesome job introducing me to Darnell and also pointing out he's a fellow Taft grad like myself and Jacob. He was actually back in 2001 is when he attended Taft High School and was on the football team when they went to state and played here and unfortunately lost to Mesquite. But he was a part of that team, played a big part, went on to have a nice college career at Oklahoma State. I do remember those teams as well. We get to talk about that and how they played the Longhorn teams that I followed growing up and watching with my dad being a big UT fan. But of course, on the episode, he gets to talk about his experience as a player, mostly in college and now working in a front office for a university, and how some of his experiences really translated into the great job he's doing at A&M San Antonio. He also talks about his decision to come home, whereas he received other offers from other institutions, but again, ultimately decided to come back to San Antonio and take a really big responsibility over at A&M San Antonio, an institution that is really new, a beautiful campus over on the south side of San Antonio. But again, having the responsibility of truly building that program. And he gets to talk about those future plans at A&M San Antonio, the awesome job they're already doing, but of course, where he wants to go with the program. But with that said, I don't want to take any more time away from my awesome interview with Darnell. So let's get right into the interview. All right. Well, Darnell, welcome into SA Talk. Really excited to have you on the podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Now, really glad to have you. And I think you are the second ever Taft alumni to be on the podcast next to Jacob.
All right. Here we go.
For sure. And speaking of that, you know, typically I start off the podcast anyway by asking you to run through a backstory, kind of give the listeners an idea of your background. And part of that background is going to Taft High School here in San Antonio. And you didn't just play football there. You competed for a state title, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. not that I'm bitter over the outcome of that state title. Go back and check the records. Taft should have won. But nonetheless, yes, absolutely. From San Antonio, my father was in Air Force, and he was stationed here. So I grew up on Lackland Air Force Base, went to Lackland High from 9th and 10th grade, and then moved off base and had the chance to go to Taft for 11th and 12th, and where I graduated. And yes, was finalist in the state championship in 2001 against Mesquite. You can probably tell by how I'm answering it didn't go the way I wanted it to, but definitely a valiant effort, and we were able to put Taft and the city of San Antonio on the map.
Yeah, I know for myself that was big. So at the time, I mean, I was only like 8 years old, but being that we are from here in San Antonio, we would always go to Taft basketball and football games growing up. The reason being is that a lot of our neighbors in the area and some, you know, other people we knew went to Taft. And so naturally we'd go and watch them play football. We'd go watch them play basketball. And so when they went to state, like that was big. Like, I mean, again, I wasn't even in high school at the time, but I was like, oh, like Taft's playing for a state title. I thought that was the coolest thing. Previous to that, and I can't remember, no, I shouldn't say previous to that. I can't remember what year it was. It might've been a couple years later, but I remember even when like Jay went to the state title for basketball, that was also big just to kind of have a representative of Northside there in the state title again. So anyways, both my parents worked in Northside for many years. So I guess we just kind of always followed whenever one of the high schools would make it, you know, deep in the playoffs. So it's pretty cool to talk to someone who was a part of a state title team like that. And you got to play here at Alamo Stadium. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, so lots of stories and lots of fond memories for sure. I'll throw out names like Robert Merrill, for example, or C.J. Thornton, for example. You know, guys I had a chance to play with at Taft that helped us get there. In addition to that, for that year for John Jay, for Northside, it was a big year because we went to the state championship in 2001. But then Jay in that same year, John Jay in 2002, that's when Chris Ross from Jay hit that half-court shot.
Yep.
And won it against Dallas Kimball, and they actually won by 1 point, 54-53. So, and then even with at Taft, we had Ashley Davis, who was I think she was definitely all district, all city, but she played basketball and just an incredible athlete there, and she went on to do great things. And I think she's currently the head coach, I think either at Arizona or somewhere out west. So it's just amazing to think back to that time and just the athletes and the individuals that have come from that. So I was definitely honored. And, you know, as I think about the state championship again, it brings up some good memories and some ones that I definitely wish I could get back.
Well, afterwards, you ended up going to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, absolutely. So I went to Oklahoma State. I was very fortunate to get a scholarship to play football. When I was at Taft, for those that may not know, I was a linebacker my senior year. I also played tailback my junior year and fullback. So a couple of different positions, but linebacker is really where I felt most at home. And when I got to Oklahoma State, I went in as a linebacker. But quickly moved to a defensive end. And I played there under Les Miles for at least my first 2 years, if you will. And then after he left for LSU, Mike Gundy took over, and I played for Coach Gundy before I graduated. So it was just an incredible opportunity and experience to be able to play at that level. The speed of the game definitely changes. You know, it's be able to play against opponents when the Big 12 was, as I like to say, the Big 12, when it had teams like you know, Missouri and Colorado and Nebraska, had A&M still in there, to play against these individuals that I don't think I'm that old, but when I throw out names like Vince Young or Jamal Charles or Cedric Benson or Reggie McNeil, even having a chance to play against Eli Manning when we played against him in the Cotton Bowl, Darren Sproles, Chase Daniel when he was over at Missouri, Ted Ginn Jr., you know, so a lot of these individuals that I was very fortunate and had a chance to play against. And like I said, it's just an experience that just can't be replicated unless you've actually done it.
For sure. And I feel like I could do a whole other episode just dedicated to like me talking about like my football memories watching, right? Compared to probably yours playing. Because all those you bring up, especially during those years, you know, both my parents went to UT. So, of course, we followed the Longhorns very much so in the household that I grew up in. And so, of course, I remember those years for the Longhorns, especially in 04 and 05 and how magical it was for their football team. But then also,
yeah, I remember my, too.
But also my dad taking me, we would go to the Alamo Bowl almost every year. So I remember going to the Oklahoma State, Ohio State game there at the Alamo Bowl. Like, so anyways, that could be a whole separate podcast.
Yes. Let's set that up for another one. For sure.
For
to
sure.
Be continued on that.
For sure. But I wanted to ask you, Darnell, like, what was the transition like going from playing in college, playing, being a student athlete, to working in the office, you know, because now you're the inaugural director of intercollegiate athletics at Texas A&M San Antonio. Back then, you know, you started, you kind of found your way in. And so what was that like going, like if you go back in time a little bit, going from being a student athlete to working in the athletics office?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was a student athlete, like a lot of student athletes, I thought about myself and I was like, well, do I want to go pro? Do I want to go to the NFL? And, you know, what would that look like? And I realized that my passion, although it was very lucrative opportunities, my passion just wasn't there. And I started to assess. And, you know, you get asked that question, what are you going to do now that you graduated? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? And I really started to think about, like, what do I want to do? I said, well, I don't have to be a player in the NFL. I could be a manager. I could work in the front office. And it got me thinking about, well, I had an exceptional student athlete experience at Oklahoma State. And I said, I want to give this same experience to others. I want to be able to have an impact on their lives as someone had an impact on mine. And so it took someone from Oklahoma State to say, Darnell, I believe in you. They set me up and they always tried to challenge me to push me further because they saw something in me that I didn't see at the time. And I said, well, I want to be an athletic director because that's where the greatest influence can happen in athletics, in my opinion. So, and that's what put me on that pathway in order to become an athletic director. So, yes, as the inaugural, that transition, what was it like? Well, it's a long road. Initially, when I started off, I was saying, well, what's the shortcut to become an athletic director? like just give me the cliff notes. I'll fill in the blank. But you know, it's really just each person's own personal journey is what's special about, you know, getting to the chair, at least for me, because it started in San Antonio. It started being able to engage in athletics and participate, and it's still about engaging in athletics and participating. So the transition is about longevity. It's about persistence and consistency. It's about connecting with people and about doing the work. So there's two things that you can control, as Coach Gundy would say, and that's attitude and effort. And that's not just what I did on the field, but it's what you do in life. And so it's, like I said, I had a goal, a vision. I stuck with it. I connected with the right people that believed in me. I, in turn, try to figure out along the way, how do I give back? And I think that, you know, it becomes just kind of infectious in a positive way whenever you have your heart and mind set on a singular goal and it has an impact to influence and positively affect other people.
Do you feel like you sort of had a leg up compared to others that maybe started down that career path just because you actually were a student athlete? You know, when I was listening to you talk, excuse me, you talked about your experiences hearing from Coach Gundy. And I just feel like in general, to be able to go to the next level and play beyond high school, like you have to have a drive. You have to have a work ethic. You have to have an attitude and effort, right? Like you were talking about. I feel like just naturally you have that ability because you played at that next level. So if you add that to understanding what it's like to be a student athlete, I feel like that gives you a leg up. Do you kind of agree with that?
Well, I think it definitely adds to an advantage that you can have against others that are trying to pursue the chair You know, what separates you from the next person? If your resume is stacked up against someone else's that's very similar, but then what are the soft skills that they can look at if you're a hiring committee that really separates you? And in that sense, yes, absolutely. Work ethic, drive, determination, things that I've learned as a student athlete start to kick in, because it's about conditioning, being able to finish the process, come up with the W, if you will. And but it also, growing up again in a military family, my dad was in the Air Force. There's a lot of things that I've learned there that also contributed towards my drive and my work ethic with athletics, and that's discipline. That is being able to understand authority, being able to contribute towards a greater cause, and it's about service at the end of the day. So all of those things, yes, that kind of built into my identity as a student athlete, I would say gave me a competitive advantage or a leg up, you know, versus others who may not have had that experience. And that's why for me, you know, my goal is to be able to help other people achieve their goals and dreams and help them find their pathway. So as the athletic director, I would do that for my department, my coaches, my staff, the student athletes. But I also like to consider myself a mentor for others that are trying to find their way through this athletic industry.
Now, earlier you were talking about your journey, right? That journey to getting in the chair, becoming, reaching your goal and becoming a director of athletics at college. And, you know, part of that journey was you had a couple stops in New Mexico and Central Oklahoma, right? University of Central
Yes.
Oklahoma. Now, both of those stops, it looks like they were, those institutions individually were coming off some NCAA sanctions. So it's almost like you maybe purposely picked those locations and kind of said, let me show that I can deal with these things, right? Let me show that I can show leadership. I mean, is that true? Or what went into that decision to take on that responsibility at both of those institutions?
Well, a little bit of that. I'm very ambitious. I have like a quiet competitiveness, but I'm very methodical and I like to plan. And so that may be the economics in me. My undergraduate was economics, so it's just training in my mind here. But what at the University of New Mexico, what went into that? Prior to that, I worked at the United States Olympic Committee out there in Colorado Springs. And so that was actually, you know, outside of intercollegiate athletics. And my goal was always to become an athletic director. And I said to myself, well, I got to make this leap. So I took the opportunity at the University of New Mexico. And even though I found out that, yeah, they were coming off of the major infraction, I felt like it was a great opportunity to be able to step in and be able to help transform the athletic department through compliance. And be able to contribute in a meaningful way. Given my recent experience at that time, just being a student athlete and just having a passion and the excitement of transformative change, I feel like I can contribute a lot. Now, getting there and having to deal with, you know, all the paperwork and, you know, the follow-ups, well, it was all about teamwork. But I did say to myself, no matter what this is, the story is about we went from point A to point B. And we're not looking back, that we were able to, and I say we, because although I took the challenge on, it was still a team effort in the compliance department, in which to, you know, we all had to be able to move this thing forward. But I was not afraid. And I actually took it on because it was exciting to be able to do something that seemingly was difficult and challenging, and to be able to say that you got it done. And to know that we've actually got it done is very rewarding, because it's all about the experience. And as a learner, when I look at some of my top strengths, being a learner is one of my top strengths. And I feel like every opportunity is a learning opportunity. And that learning opportunity is something that no one can ever take away from you. So you're always going to improve. You're always getting better with every challenge. I just like to take on the biggest challenges, ergo while I'm trying to build an athletic department.
That's what it seems like.
You know, so it's, you know, and even when I was at Taft, right, just to go back there, I've always had that mindset, and it gets back to that's just the way I'm cut, or that's just the way that I'm built, that I don't feel so that there's nothing that I cannot achieve. I'm a faith-based man. And I always believe that Philippians 4:13 says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I always believe that. And so whether it was, hey, you know what? There's a state championship. We were picked fifth in our district that year. And no one really outside of the Taft family thought that we had a chance. And asked one of the team captains, I said, well, let's just take it one game at a time. They're going to have to prove themselves to us. And we eventually got there. And I always saw that winning mentality, that competitive spirit, but for the right reasons, and about transforming either others or institutions so that you can contribute towards something meaningful and memorable, and you do it all over again. I mentioned the University of Mexico, and then what took me to Central Oklahoma was the opportunity to be a little bit closer to family. My wife's from Oklahoma City, and I said to myself, well, you know, I want to be near family. If, you know, someday that when I start to grow my family, being near family and happy wife, happy life, all that good stuff. But it just coincidentally that they were also under a major fraction. And I said to myself, well, I've done this before as far as helping transform. And again, it wasn't something that I would run away from. It's actually something that I really took on. And I felt like we did a great job. I was there for 10 years, and I think we became a pillar of excellence and compliance at Central Oklahoma.
Well, and of course, now in your new role with Texas A&M San Antonio, I have to wonder, you know, what did SA play a big part coming back to San Antonio and the family you probably had here? Did that play a big part? Because I can't remember if it was an article that I had read previously from the Express News or if it was in the Oklahoman, but there was an article on you and it was mentioning how you had come across opportunities during your time at Central Oklahoma, but you decided on this opportunity here in San Antonio. So I have to wonder, you know, what played the biggest part, or what were those factors that played into you accepting this role here in town?
Well, it's home, it's family, it's home. Just thinking about the time that I spent growing up and, you know, utilizing sport as my platform to get me connected with the city. My dad driving me and my brother around to make sure we could go find some basketball games. When I think about San Antonio and these opportunities, it's home. And as I mentioned, being a faith-based guy, you know, there's another scripture that comes to me, and that's Proverbs 3:5, and it says to trust the Lord with all your heart, you know, and he would direct your path. So I really, really believe in that. So when these opportunities came up, and I did have, you know, was offered an opportunity to be an AD elsewhere. And before I even knew if I was going to get an interview at A&M San Antonio, you know, I had this feeling that the good Lord had a plan for me. And I just had to trust my gut, which is my instinct. And I feel like the Lord is communicating to me that way. And then also just praying about it. So I knew that something was going to come up at A&M San Antonio. So I had to just trust. So for me, it being home, even though it was NAIA, and I was coming from an NCAA institution, and I spent, you know, 10 plus years working within NCAA at Division I, at Division II, I knew nothing really about the NAIA because I haven't worked in there, and I wasn't a former player. I still believe that that opportunity was one for me. That, you know, creating, building is something that I really, really enjoy. And by the way, I do have a background in arts. So for my first three full-time semesters at Oklahoma State, I was an art major. So to me, when I see a blank canvas, I can see what I can paint on it. And when you give an artist a brush or whatever tool, you know, they're going to create. And, you know, whatever may come of it, you know, I'm pretty sure that it's going to be something masterful. And that's exactly what I'm doing now. And when, again, it seemed like the stars just aligned for this opportunity to present itself. And I was not afraid, just like with New Mexico, just like with Central Oklahoma, no matter what the challenges are, just like when I was at Taft, they say, look, if we want to get to the mountaintop, if we want to be able to get to this championship, if you want what we do, what you want, well, great. Then I'm the guy that's going to get it done, because I'm not going to stop until it's done. And I believe that with the great team that I have, and with the support that I have from President Mattson and the leadership team, and with the chancellor, with the A&M system, we're in a good position to be able to chip away and to achieve our goals and be able to build this thing and with excellence.
Now, when you took that role and they hired you on, Darnell, did they have a list of tasks that they already had ready for you? You know, did they have something that like, Darnell, we need help with this. This is where we want to go. Get us there.
Yeah. So when I was brought on, it was more about, Darnell, we brought you on because you're a leader. We brought you on because of your expertise, and you're the candidate that's going to take us. And I'm paraphrasing here, but you're the candidate that's going to take us to the future. So they relied on my vision and my leadership. But yes, there are already some things that were in the works. They just needed me to be able to execute and take it to the next level. So, for example, we have four sports: softball, men's golf, and men's and women's soccer. So those four sports were selected prior to my hire. In addition to that, there was some discussion on where the fields would go. So the master plan, facilities plan. So not to say that they make the decisions, but we have to figure out based on the systems, in a timely manner, like where can we plot and put these facilities, should we get the funding to build them. So stuff like that was already in play, but I come in now to execute. To put my vision, put my stamp on it, and to inform them on what the next steps are involving athletics as well as recreational sport.
Do they have, because everything I read about A&M San Antonio, whenever they show up in the news or an article, it's always them growing. It's always talk about the university growing. I actually had the opportunity for the first time last year to visit the campus, and even though it's maybe small compared to what I was used to at UTSA, or of course whenever I'd visited the campus up in Austin with my parents, but it was such a beautiful campus. And part of that obviously is because it's newer, nice, but man, it's a beautiful campus. But I also noticed how much room there is to grow there. And that's probably why whenever they do show up in the news, it talks about A&M San Antonio growing. So yes. Then that makes me curious on the athletic sides of things, which of course is your forte, right? Is, what room is there to grow? Are there discussions about that? What is something you want to do with that athletics department?
Yeah, absolutely. And I encourage everyone listening and tuning in, come visit the campus. I think that you'll be amazed, just as Zachary has and others that have seen it. And as when I first saw it, I was like, wow. Like, I grew up in San Antonio and I didn't know that this was here. So I encourage you people to take a look at it. So, for me, we are growing, and that is a way to describe it. But not just our campus, is around our campus, like with the Vita project that's going on north of us. We are the catalyst for growth here on the south side. And with sports, we're going to grow alongside with our campus. And matter of fact, we are an integral part of that strategic plan to be able to help with the growth through adding sports, which is going to boost enrollment, which is going to help with retention, which is going to help with the collegiate experience. And really for the South Side, it's going to, bring a lot of economic business. It's hopeful once we continue to grow a lot of economic business to the South Side. So it's a win-win for every single person. And as far as we do have our four sports with softball, men's golf, and men's and women's soccer. But I could definitely see this, for us adding some additional sports as our campus continues to grow. So with the opportunities, and that would be men's and women's basketball. Would be great, a great fit for our campus and for the Red River Conference, for which we're members of. I could also look at cross country, men's and women's, especially the terrain and location. Maybe not now because it's 105 and 6 degrees outside, but but cross country would be a good fit geographically for our campus. And eventually and steadily, we'll increase from 4 to 6 which is a requirement for the NAIA to get to 6. But then from 6 to 7 to 8 to 9, and then we also have esports. Even though it's not underneath the umbrella of athletics, it is under recreational sport, but you know, it is a force to be reckoned with. And as the preeminent leader when it comes to esports in San Antonio, we were one of the first, if not the first, to be able to have a varsity esports program. So we take a lot of pride in our sports and our activities, and all of it contributes towards the ultimate goal of increasing enrollment, but also bringing this experience, the greatest live entertainment that we can offer to our students here on our campus and here on the South Side. And one other thing that I'll add too is facilities and infrastructure. The campus, we're building buildings, and yes, we'll continue to increase our paw print, as we like to say. But we are looking at trying to bring in a rec center here very, very, very soon. The first rec center that we'll have in school history. So again, a win for the students. We are looking at trying to build athletics fields, not just for athletics, but fields that can also be beneficial for the community. And that was through the support that we got from Bexar County recently when they awarded us $10 million to do these things. So it's about the community, and they recognize, I believe, just how special our campus is, how beautiful it is. And that's very intentional. Spare no expense for the student experience, right? But you know, it's beautiful, we're growing, and it's the, you know, the sky's limit to where we can go. Space-wise, we sit on close to about 700 acres on our campus. So, you know, we're not landlocked, but we got to make sure that when we build, it is strategic. And as I mentioned earlier, the master plan, facilities master plan, all these things work in accordance with, you know, working with others and working with our system so that we know, you know, what it could look like. You know, it's a live document, but, you know, the facilities are important for us. And I will continue to try to reach new heights when it comes to fundraising for facilities and anything else that can help with the growth and continue to add to the prominence and the beauty of our campus.
No, and I really can't say enough about how beautiful the buildings are there. And again, I know it's because it's newer, but still, like, you notice it. And oh, yeah. I love my alma mater. I love UTSA. I support them. But like, I'm honest when it comes to, you know, if you were to ask me about the buildings there at UTSA, I'd be like, you know, and I guess maybe because the time they were built back in the 60s, I don't know, buildings were just weird, I guess, at that time. But the buildings aren't that pretty. You know, as the new ones go up, they're a little better looking. But no, really, I mean, A&M San Antonio, those buildings look awesome. And like you said, there's a lot of room to grow. You know, to insert my opinion from a casual sports fan perspective, I really value competition. I value seeing a quality product on the court, the pitch, the field. I like to see traditions play out, especially, and you see that, of course, in college. You know, something I think about whenever I have talked about A&M San Antonio athletics is that I want to see them get on a similar level as UTSA has grown in this short amount of time, because I think it would be awesome. You know, I don't know if UIW was trying to do that or if they're still trying to, but I just don't see that as like, I don't know if that's going to work out the way it's going to. I have no idea, but I think that would be awesome to have a rivalry between UTSA and A&M San Antonio at some point in the not so distant future when it comes to sports that I enjoy, like baseball, football, basketball. I would love to see that. Yeah, I think it'd be great for the city, especially since we don't have pro teams for a football. Well, I mean, we don't really have an NFL team. I know we're getting our XFL or our minor league football team for like the 10th time, but you know, I think it would be great to see something like that. You know, in the UTSA athletics community, we talk a lot about who is our rival, who is UTSA's rival. Is it Texas State? Like, because you know, they haven't beaten us in football, so it's like, is it Texas State? You know, is it North Texas? Who's our rival? I don't think personally there's like a true rival where you feel like, oh, like you just don't like that team or you want to beat them. But I feel like you could have that with something like A&M San Antonio and UTSA. So I just had to insert that opinion there because being, of course, alumni from UTSA, watching the growth of A&M San Antonio, being a sports fan, I would love to see something like that, like a crosstown rival like that. I think it'd be great for competition. It'd be great for entertainment purposes for the city.
Yeah, well, what you said there is definitely key. You know, whatever can uplift the city and bring some of the greatest live entertainment, that's what I'm about. So if there's ways, if the opportunity presents itself to where we can get those games and it brings the city to our one meeting point, well, then it's just a win-win for everybody. And yes, it has been brought to my attention that you're not alone in your thinking as far as like the crosstown rivalry. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But for now, when it comes to us, we're in the NAIA, and the focus is to be able to be our best selves and to be champions in the NAIA, to take conference, which is the Red River Athletic Conference, and to, you know, take care of our rivals across the town. And that would be Our Lady of the Lake University, within our conference. So the future can hold many mysteries, but many excitements as well. And as we continue to grow and build, we'll be able to see if we can't get some of these games on the docket, especially if, you know, we were at baseball or at basketball, what that may look like as far as like exhibition matches or even scrimmages should they arise.
And again, going back to benefiting the city, you know, something my dad and I, again, because I grew up going to a lot of high school athletics games with my dad and our neighbor, something we talk about a lot with the growth of UTSA athletics is that I feel like it gives high school, San Antonio high school athletes another option instead of having to leave town or to leave the state, right? To go somewhere like Oklahoma State or Texas or Baylor or wherever they're going to go. Instead, it's like, well, hey, we have a team here in San Antonio. That's what I think as a high school sports fan, from that perspective, I've really enjoyed seeing the growth of my alma mater at UTSA. And again, going back to benefiting the city, I feel like that would also be, you know, something great as we see the growth of A&M San Antonio to offer that experience to high school athletes here in San Antonio to be able to stay here if they want to, right? That there's a quality athletics program here to be able to do that, not have to leave town to do it. So I just think of things like that too. Right. Instead of seeing all these high school athletes leave town, it's like, no, well, let's stay here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And even when I was recruited out of high school back in 2002, obviously UTSA didn't have football at the time. But, you know, had they had football, then I would have definitely considered, you know, what that would have looked like, you know, for me playing in my hometown. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's what I definitely want to make sure that we do with the A&M San Antonio is we want to let people know that we are here. The athletics department has only been in existence for two and a half years now. And the university is only 13 years young. So yeah, it's about making sure we increase our visibility. So for those that are watching and tuning in, come check us out, spread the word. You know, we do have beautiful facilities. We have a beautiful campus and athletics is here and we are competing on a national level. And we're very, you know, we're in our conference is very competitive in a lot of sports. And you can get the quality of game in our conference, at our institution, as you would anywhere. So we are a great option if you're looking at, hey, where can I play? And as far as like the sports we will be adding and growing in the future. And I'm looking at, you know, what sports can we add on next? All of it's contingent upon budget and for the what the student body here on campus wants, but whatever they want. And if we have the money, I'm going to make it happen. So, you know, check it out. But to your point, absolutely. The opportunities are here. People should take advantage of it, especially at A&M San Antonio where, you know, we are, I like to say one of the hidden gems where one in six of our students are military affiliated and, you know, 98% of our students receive some type of financial aid. And so we're placed in a position to where it's very affordable, and you're looking for affordability, access, and just a great athletics program on the rise. That's us.
I'm curious, Darnell, what has been your favorite part about the job in your experience so far? I'm sure you could probably list a couple of things, but what's been, I don't know, if you had to be put on the spot to say what has been your favorite parts of the job, what would you say?
Well, thanks for putting me on the spot. there's so many, but I'll say this. It was the first time that I've seen student athletes on campus. When I hired the coaches, no offense to my coaches, I'm pretty sure that they would agree, but no offense to them, but there's no other feeling to know that athletics is here than when you have a student athlete, and to follow that up, that first game, because we were also dealing with COVID, not as a department, but during the time that we were trying to get started, which we initially were supposed to start in the fall of 20, and everything was shut down, not just our institution, but everything was shut down. Now you're thinking like, okay, well, when can we launch? Because we want to go, but respectfully, health and safety comes first. So the first time that they put on a uniform and they represented the institution in competition, that's a moment right there. And it's like, man, I'm doing stuff. So you get excited because, you're doing something that seemingly was just a tall order to be able to start, not just start, but start as quickly as we did within a pandemic and with limited resources to be able to make these things happen. And so once I saw the student athletes out there and ready to go, I was like, that's the moment that changed this campus and changed this community forever, that put A&M San Antonio on the map.
So it kind of leads perfectly into my last question I have for you as far as the discussion goes, which is, what legacy do you want to leave there at A&M San Antonio? You're still, I don't know if I'm sorry if I made you feel old earlier in the podcast, yeah. But you're not.
Yeah, I was like, you're when not, I was in middle school. Like.
But you're not. You're really young, especially for someone in that role, in that position. I'm not sure. I'm sure if I asked you, you probably wouldn't even know if this is your last stop or not. But whether or not it is, what legacy do you want to leave there on campus?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll definitely be here as long as they will have me, because building, and creating something off a blank canvas, sometimes it takes an artist, a long time to be able to perfect a masterpiece, and sometimes it's never really perfect. And I think that's the beauty of it, because you can keep adding to it. So the type of legacy that I think that I want to is, I guess, 40 years into the future, right? When people look back on it, is that, a couple of things, as a Black man, for people to be able to see me is representation. So representation matters. But two, for the community and for the South Side, to be able to bring something that they can be proud of, not just now, but 40 years into the future. So generational excitement, to bring and to say like, look, we were very intentional that we did not take advantage, or we did not miss the opportunity to be able to maximize people's experiences. And we really heard them when we listened to what they wanted. And so when you look at the type of sports that we got at that time, did we get it right? Our fans coming to these games. So sold out games, sold out facilities. We got fundraising going. When people are generally excited, and then when they see the name and they see excellence, then I know that legacy has been established. And, for my boys, who are 6-2 at the time right now, so lots of energy there. But for them, whenever they do look at, A&M San Antonio after they got their scholarship here, maybe at that time to play football or basketball, that they can look at it and be proud of what I was able to do, my team and I. So there's many things as far as like a legacy, and being from San Antonio, it's like, you know, we all want to contribute towards something great and sustaining. And for me to be able to do this and to be the first to do it, and to do it with excellence, and to know that other people have benefited from it. Other people are getting their degrees. People are coming through it, and they love this place, or at least they love what we're doing. That's what matters to me.
Darnell, I have no doubt that both your kids will be proud of you once they're old enough to recognize all the work that you've done and continue to do. I have full confidence in that, I will say. And Darnell, I really appreciated our conversation. I know for a fact, I can tell you this won't be the last time that we're speaking. And I appreciate you joining me here on SA Talk. I want to give you the platform, the floor one more time to kind of plug in anywhere the listeners can find you, can find Texas A&M San Antonio, whatever you want to share with them, wherever you want them to go and direct them to. This is your floor to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for that. For all listeners and those tuning in, please check us out at Tamusa Sports. That's sports with the S at the end, .com. So TamusaSports.com, you'll find us, or you can go to the university website at Tamusa.edu. There's an athletics link that's there. Please, you know, follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram at Tamusa Sports. Just look for us. And as far as for me, if you feel so inclined to want to follow me or reach out, you can find me at Jaguar AD Smith at one of those platforms. So Jaguar AD Smith at one of those platforms. I'd be happy to connect. You know, throughout the season, please support our student athletes. Again, when you watch them in action, it's almost like they've been there for about 15 years. But no, like, for example, with softball, they just completed their second year. We've seen jumps and as far as like their season and their wins. So their first year, they went from 9 wins to 23 wins in just their second year. We had 3 all-conference players for softball, 2 made first team, 1 made all-tournament, 1 made all-region, and we have some academic scholars to boot, not just for softball, but for all of our programs. Men's golf, we had the Red River Athletic Conference Men's Golf Freshman of the Year. And again, you think like, well, you've been around for a while. No, just the second year. So the sky is the limit for what we're doing, and I encourage you all to come check us out. Go to our website, check out what the tickets may look like, and come to the games. We're going to try to make it fan friendly and provide an exceptional fan experience, because that's one of my values, is to make sure that we can give back, and that is through how we interact through the games. So social media is great, and really, if there's any ideas on, hey, you know what, how can we give, or Darnell, if you know, sponsorships, you know, please reach out to me. My contact information, you can reach out dsmith at tamusa.edu. So it's dsmith at tamusa.edu. That's my email, or feel free to call area code 210-784-5500. One of those channels, be able to reach me. Always looking for sponsors that want to partner with this exciting opportunity and invest in our programs and our student athletes. Where, as I like to say, we are building champions on the mission down here, and we want to build it with you. So whether it be sponsorship, fundraising, we just need to support. So thank you for that.
Well, again, Darnell, I appreciate that. I'll make sure I put that information in the show notes, of course, for the listeners to go and click on those links. But again, I really appreciate it. And thank you for joining me on the show. That's going to wrap up my interview. As always, thank you to everyone who supports the podcast. Again, I hope you're enjoying all the work and content that we're putting out, whether you're supporting monetarily, you're supporting on social media. I really do appreciate it. If you can and you haven't already, please rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can keep up with the podcast if you aren't already, again, on social media. You can follow at SA Pod Network on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual suspects. Lastly, if you or any business owners you know are looking to advertise with the podcast, please reach out to me directly at Zachary, that's Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, at sapodnetwork.com. Thank you all again. Have a wonderful rest of the week. See you again in a couple weeks, and viva San Antonio.